dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Boy, that guy has a really good voice, doesn't he, guys? Welcome in, everybody. It's show 170, our final fall show of SBC Sports Talk, and this is, in fact, Bruce Knox, and want to first thank our billboard sponsor, Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way. Everybody, it's right behind the Hampton Inn, just off of Bridge Street. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You'll find Cardo's Pizzas. It's a place for parties and events. They've got all kinds of sports, soccer, arcades, super inflatable land. And you can find out more about them on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Give them a call, 740-773-7529. And we thank them for their sponsorship of SBC Sports Talk. We hope that you do as well. As I started to say, this is Bruce Knox, and with me I have Shane Combs and Derek. First, let's check in. Let's bring in the one and only Derek Webb, the young buck of the Chillicothe Gazette. How are you, Derek?
I'm all right today on this Sunday. I guess maybe I kissed my sister today with the Bengals tying. I'm not really sure how to act.
Yeah, yeah, it was kissing your sister, wasn't it? They traveled 2,000 miles to the British Empire to take on the Washington Redskins, and then they kind of laid an egg over there. It seemed like both teams did, really, though. But
the only consolidation I can see is the English people over there. They're used to soccer ties, so maybe that's what they were trying for.
Yep. I wondered how your weekend was going. I did check and saw that Notre Dame won. So Notre Dame won, the Buckeyes got by, and
they did.
And then the Bengals, as we said, tied. So you should be having a pretty good weekend.
Not too bad.
Any feeling about what the course, it may be over by some time, by the time someone listens to this, but what do you think about the Cleveland Indians?
I'm rooting for the Indians. Yeah. I'm a self-professed Reds fan, but anytime. I mean, they're not the Browns. I'm rooting for the Indians. Anytime Ohio team kind of gets in there. I was rooting for the Cavaliers last basketball season when they came back on the Warriors there. So yeah, I'm definitely rooting for the Indians. Hopefully tonight they can get it done as we speak. So.
All righty, that would be great. And then let's bring in the grizzled veteran of 6 seasons of SVC Sports Talk, the one and only Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bruce. I tell you, I ran into a former high school teammate earlier in the week who may or may not be the head coach of our old high school there, and he may or may not be a huge favorite to win another gold basketball this winter. But after Derek and I dropped his name a couple times last week in the fall show, some friends and family were messing with him a little bit. So I'm making it my goal to make it through the final fall show with no reference to how loaded this particular team is going to be this winter. So, you know, Bruce, I don't know if you have a buzzer there or anything, or Derek, or if I get close to mentioning that particular name, you can buzz me and tell me not until the winter season. How's that?
I'll try to do our best. And Derek, you listen to him a lot closer than I do sometimes. So you just jump in if he mentions that anonymous person's name.
That sounds good. We'll have to be accountability partners.
Yes, that would be great. Well, Derek, you've been with us now through what, 11 shows filtered, and what are your thoughts on now? You don't want to give them unfiltered. You want to keep in mind that you are. But do you think it was an okay thing to join SVC Sports Talk now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has been. If you guys know me, I'm that weird guy that loves coming to work and then I don't want to leave when I get here. So, this has just kind of put something else on my plate that's a lot of fun for me. And I get to talk about a lot of kids positively when I don't get to have the space in the newspaper the next day. Mm-hmm. But those kids still deserve that recognition they get. So it's been really cool for me just to kind of highlight those guys, and hopefully they listen and enjoy what we do.
Do you think that's what you've enjoyed the most about doing this?
I would think either that or, getting Shane's viewpoint of things. Me and him have gotten to know each other a lot better from media member to coach. And then now we're pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's pretty cool as well. And then, just kind of getting to know how he thinks and how he works in a baseball mind with other sports. It's nice to get that other perspective out there as well. And now we've got another voice who can give other kids recognition, and we can kind of do it together. So I'd say us three kind of coming together and collaborating that and then giving everybody recognition has been probably my two favorite parts.
I think you enjoyed calling that game, didn't you, the volleyball game?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm really excited. I hope that Shane and I get a chance to cover a basketball game, or even a baseball, softball game. I know he's busy during the spring, but, that was so much fun. And obviously the season's not over. You never know volleyball-wise, but that was a blast.
Yeah, and Shane, you've encountered a couple different co-hosts throughout the history of the show. There's Matt, brother Matt, your brother Matt, Jeremy Ward. I think Eric Snyder took over during the first season after Matt stepped aside for basketball, and now you've got Derek. So what's been the difference amongst those people having them on?
Well, guys, I think Derek touched on it a lot of times. You know, the one really cool thing about coaching is the relationships, and it's the friendships that you develop and respect. And, you know, obviously with Matt and Jeremy and Eric, I think we might even had Chris Eldridge on one time just as a special guest, is the fact that I'd already known those guys. We'd already had a developed friendship. But as Derek said, we knew each other well. There was a high level of respect there between reporter and coach. But what's been cool is over the last couple months is we've been able to work together a little bit more and then just be able to spend some time together. A really nice friendship starts to form. And that's what I enjoy about the show. You know, when I'm doing it with people that I've known for so long and even coached with in a lot of situations, a lot of the perspectives are going to be shared and so forth. In this particular situation, you know, Derek gives us such a cool perspective on the show that we've never had, and it's really allowed us to highlight kids. I think the number one thing that has ended up drawing Derek and myself together is we both share, be it SVC Sports Zone or SVC Sports Talk or the Chillicothe Gazette or the Roundtable at the Chillicothe Gazette, it's the fact of highlighting kids. So I think that's probably been the cool thing. So I really appreciate not only the opportunity to work with Derek, but with Brock Netter, Mike Throne, and so forth, and getting involved. And I think we're just scratching the surface. I really do. I think, as he said, calling games. SVC Sports Talk, even after this, has a whole winter season and a spring season. I know Derek is going to love the winter, but I'll tell you what, Derek, what you're really going to enjoy the more I get to know you is our spring, because what we do in the spring is unmatched anywhere. We take pride, and maybe this is my bias being a baseball coach, we take pride in giving spring coverage that it doesn't get anywhere else. But at the same time, what's cool, Bruce, is people who knew me at a younger age or even a younger adult age is always viewed me more as a basketball person who coaches baseball. As I start to move forward now and get older, it's kind of neat to see the perspective as I get to know people further in my career. And you know, that's one thing I've really enjoyed about Derek. You know, guys, what we're going to do this week on the show is really, really neat. I've put together a final exam. So Derek and I are going to go to school here a little bit. We're going to take our fall final exam. And I don't know, Derek, if there's any right or wrong answers, but I know that there's some really, really tough questions. But I think, as always, it'll give the fans a chance to play along. And in doing this, our discussion is going to end up covering, I mean, fans, we may end up saying 75 to 100 names tonight of SVC athletes, which is awesome. If you listen through the show, you're going to hear your school, you're going to hear your program mentioned probably at some point. And if you don't and you're upset about it, then let us know. But I tell you, Bruce, I think it's a fun format that we've never really tried. And I'm excited to try it out here with Derek this evening.
Well, we're game for whatever, aren't we? Yep. Absolutely. Okay, let's get into it. We have a different format, as you just mentioned, and we'll take a look, recap what has been a great fall season in the SBC. Well, as we get into this new and different kind of format tonight, we want to tell you that this segment of SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by the Crown Hill Golf Club. That is located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 in West Williamsport, Ohio. And the phone number up there, 740-986-4653. I got to tell you, they've got a really good website. I was on there kind of looking at it before we started recording today, and they kind of have a tagline that says 18 holes, superb amenities, and outstanding service. And that's exactly what it looks like. They've got something going on up there all the time. And I'm sure, as warm as this fall has been, you can still play some rounds out there. They've got next Saturday, they've got a hole in run charity 5K. See, that's a pun there, Shane, if you didn't catch that. Hole in run. Yeah, or any mention of run whatsoever. But anyway, we appreciate their sponsorship, and just give them a call, 740-986-4653. Tell them Crown Hill, or tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you. You can also drop them a line at crownhillgolf@gmail.com as well. We appreciate their sponsorship. So our first segment, as we get into this new and different format that Shane's come up for here, it's going to be called Take Your Pick. And I'm going to read a topic, and then I'm going to read some choices, and I will then ask our two sports nerds what they think or what their answer is out of these multiple choice questions, and we'll see who gets the best grade out of this. All right, you guys ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Most impressive quartet of stars. Which of the following foursomes was most impressive? Listen carefully. SVC quarterbacks of Harris, Edler, Berkheimer, and McCloskey. SVC hitters of Putnam, McGill, Skeens, and Chandler. SVC golfers, Zimmerman, Graham, Calvin, or Schoenbrock. And SVC setters of Eberts, Shea, Goble, and Conley. Mr. Derek Webb, what say you?
Well, I mean, I didn't know that, I feel like I'm taking an ACT here.
That's
right. I was
doing
good at tests. I tell you what, this is Shane said at the beginning of the show, there's some tough questions. And I mean, we've got 16 names here that are very talented. If I had to pick one, for me, it would be just kind of as a spectator's point of view and what's been most fun to watch. And that would have to be the SBC hitters of Devin Putnam, Ricky McGill, Ellis Skeens, and Cammy Chandler. I mean, when you look at those guys, it's just another level, especially as you get into the tournament. It's another level of volleyball they're playing at as they picked apart, at defenses like, Portsmouth, Nelsonville, York, Wheelersburg. You really get a sense of appreciation of the talent that they all have. And, you look at those four names, all four were in district finals, and three of the four are in a regional semifinal. That's only because one knocked the other out. So mm-hmm. I think if you take any of those four names off the team that they're on now,
they're not there.
There's some big shoes to fill. But they're so much fun to watch, all four of those guys. And, with Ricky, Devin, or with just Ricky and Devin, I'll definitely miss watching those guys play next year.
Yeah, I certainly can't argue at that point, Bruce. Those particular hitters are really balanced attacks when you consider a Skeens. Even Chandler has one opposite of her in Morris. McGill obviously carries the load a little bit more, as does Putnam, although Poehler's really had a nice year. You could say that the setters offset the hitters a little bit if you wanted to look at it one way. I think it's cool to see the quarterbacks have combined for over 5,000 passing yards just between the four of them. Have a lot of unique playmakers that are doing a lot of winning. But for me, guys, my answer here is the SBC golfers. When I look at Zimmerman, Graham, Calvin, and Schoenbrock, if you look at them as a high school team, they basically on average would shoot 149 Now you start shooting 149, and there's not a league in Ohio that you're not going to compete just fine in. You know, three of them went to the state with Schoblock getting beat by. You got Calvin, I believe, on the playoff hole there. I just think at the level they performed at, not to take anything away from the volleyball hitters, because as Derek just said, I agree. And I guess, Derek, what's unfair about this question is, you know, Putnam, McGill, and Skeens haven't finished their resume yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in fairness to them, yep. you know, a Devin Putnam or whoever might be playing at, you know, Wright State here in a week or so, and maybe I'd have to revisit my answer. But for me, you know, three out of these four went to the state level. And keep in mind, you know, Zimmerman and Graham there at the state level lead Piketon to a third place finish, and as mm-hmm. we joked before, a public state championship. So it's really, really close for me. All four were a lot of fun to follow, and again, we're still following some, but I'd probably give the golfers the close edge here.
Okay, so we've got Derek going with the hitters, and we've got Shane going with the golfers. Okay, next question. Which of the following was most impressive to you? The choices are, there are three. Ricky McGill having 118 kills in three wins over Piketon. Drake Stanforth rushing for over 500 yards and 10 touchdowns in a two-week span. Or Callie Minton scoring 10 goals in the first three wins as Southeastern would go on to enjoy a 14-2-2 season. Derek?
Well, for me, I mean, you know, you look at – I got to look at Drake Stanforth's numbers, and you go 500 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's a season for some kids. That's two seasons for some kids. That's just out of this world. I mean, I know he had over 300 in 1 week, and then I think he had six in the same week. But when you follow that up with four more and 150 more, that's I don't have strengths on top of a mountain. We're having 118 and Cali scoring 10 goals are obviously, you know, up there accomplishments on top of a mountain where nobody can climb. But Drake Stanforth having 500 yards, you don't see that at all in high school football.
Okay, so that's your final answer, right?
That's my final answer.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, obviously people know I'm biased with Drake Stanforth, and I love him to death. And what he's doing there is phenomenal. I've even really had a increased respect for soccer and what Callie Minton's done leading Southeastern to a 14-2-2 season. She's really become kind of a foundation, a building block for what's fairly a new program there in terms of the Lady Panthers. But for me, guys, this Ricky McGill stat line for Piketon, this is insane. Mm-hmm. 118 kills and three wins against Piketon. I look back at our Athena Sports Medicine stats today in preparation for the show. I mean, there's people in the top 12 of kills on even updated stats. I had like 163 on the year. I mean, and she's had 118 against one team. So when you consider that, you know, she was able to do that and coming back from 2-0 down in the regular season and then coming from 2-0 down with the season on the line in the district championship and them surviving, I think on my notes, I said on Shout-O-Matic, I think I had them, Derek, facing four match points in that fourth set. Mm-hmm. And just phenomenal. And where I'll give Ricky the most credit in that particular match the other day was the way she pushed her teammates along. You know, Braden Collins coming on a couple times where Ricky trusted her and was setting her outside. She came on in that third set a little bit. Riley Black was tremendous. But then Alicia Long, obviously, is a senior with Ricky, deserves a lot of credit too. It was a really cool picture you guys had in the Gazette of Alicia, where I think that's what's so neat, Bruce, about sports is when you catch kids in that true raw emotion. Nothing's mm-hmm. playing, nothing's whatever. That's an entire career, entire season of coming down to that one moment where you accomplish something really cool that's bigger than yourself. And I'll go with Ricky on this question.
Okay. We move right along. Your third question is as follows. The SVC has had some great breakout stars in 2016. Which of the following unknowns to many SVC fans 3 months ago had the most attention getting this fall? Okay, first option, Gavin Snyder leading the league in tackles while rushing for over 900 yards on offense. Second option, Southeastern setter Lauren Goble being given the keys to the Southeastern offense and dishing out 10 assists per set. Southeastern is currently 20-5 and heading to the regionals. Or our third and final option, sophomore Jamie Clifford being the top 10 golfer at just over a stroke average of 40, as many thought he was the difference in the Piketon depth leading them to the title. Derek?
You know, I think when you look at the first two names with Gavin and Lauren, you know, we kind of knew about Gavin and Lauren. So I'm going to have to go with Jamie Clifford as a sophomore. You don't finish third in the state for nothing. And I know that Steven Zimmerman and Casey Moore and DJ Graham are all very, very talented golfers, and they've obviously dominated SEC play all year long, winning 7 out of 8 matches with the Red Streaks. But I like how we titled this question, or answer, I guess. So we're playing Jeopardy.
Yeah. yeah.
Was, you know, many thought he was the difference. I would have to agree with that. I mean, you know, you get him in the top as a top 10 golfer, and then he still has success at a sectional and district level, and then even at a state level to push that score up the leaderboard. You know, now for me, I didn't know who Jamie Clifford was before this year.
Okay.
So he put his name on the map for me. I'd have to go with him here.
Okay. Shane?
Well, Derek makes a great argument, honestly, there that makes me stop and think. For me, though, I think what we have to be careful of, Derek, just to throw a different perspective at you, I think we have to be careful sometimes because you and I know a lot of kids. Okay.
True.
So now when Derek says he doesn't know a kid or I don't know a kid, then obviously that makes this. I would argue here with the Lauren Goble that not a lot of people thought that she could step in and take over this particular thing if you weren't someone who followed summer volleyball.
Yeah.
Gavin Snyder, a kid that, you know, if to use a boxing term, inch for inch, pound for pound, you almost wonder if he's not the best football player out there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in terms of just what he does. I'm going to go bias for a question here, guys, and I'm going to say Gavin Snyder. I think what he's been able to do starting in his sophomore year last year around weeks 4, 5, 6, and then he went through an injury and it kind of slowed him down at the end of his sophomore year, but he's come back. You know, with a kid of his character and his work ethic, tackling on the one side of the ball, running on the other side, you throw in the young quarterback that has good character as well. I just think Huntington at 3-7 this year was really only out of one game by halftime. They really played a more competitive brand of football. And I think, you know, Gavin deserves a lot of credit for that. So I'll go Gavin Snyder.
All righty, we've got you down with Gavin Snyder. And our last question in this particular segment, the SVC has introduced to some good freshmen this fall. Which of the following classmates have been most impressive? We're going to get a lot of people involved in this one, obviously. First option is Holly Pinkerton, Sylvia Gray, and Ty Schoenbrock of Unioto. Adina's Emmett Cunningham and Noah Kincaid, Lane Ruby and Skylar Heiss of Southeastern, and then Bryce Newland, Cruz McFadden, John Alley, and Braden Eisen of Paint Valley. What do you say, Derek?
Well, I tell you what, this is one of those other questions that it's just like, goodness, I mean, a lot of talent that you just named there. And I know when I say that I'm going to go with Holly Pinkerton, Sylvia Gray, and Ty Schoenbrock, everybody's like, well, the Gazette is going with Unioto again. but they're going to, you know, in this certain situation, I mean, you know, you look at Holly as a defensive, the backbone of that Unioto team as a freshman, and she's just only going to get better. I honestly look for her to win 2 or even 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards over the next couple of years. Then you look at Sylvia Gray. You go to a state tennis tournament as a freshman, the first time since the mid-'80s. Then you look at Ty Schoenbrock, who lost a playoff hold to get a chance to go to the state golf tournament. So you've really got two individual sports where, you know, the state tournament was either there or right in reach. And then you got Holly Pinkerton, who's, you know, going up against competition like Adina and Southeastern and Huntington and Piketon Volleyball and just kind of staying back there and being a rock for that defense. So, I mean, I would have to go with those guys. And that is not a biased pick. I just think those three produce a real nice trinity.
Shane?
Well, yeah, Bruce, to take a little pressure off the Chillicothe Gazette here, I'll go ahead and say Derek's exactly right. I mean, you know, as I put the question together, you know, you look at Pinkerton taking the different collar jersey and leading that Unio to defense and the year they had. Sylvia Gray, her resume speaks for itself. You just mentioned Schoblock. I could have even mentioned shame on me, Derek. Isn't Eric Hacker of Uniota? Isn't he a freshman as well?
I believe so, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, Uniota does here. Obviously, the Adina cross-country kids give them a nice nucleus to build around. Good luck to Emmett at the state tournament or state meet as well. The Paint Valley foursome there in football, certainly good. Guys, the one thing I'll throw out here just for discussion, I agree with Derek's answer, but let me throw this out there about Ruby and Heiss. I mean, mm-hmm. You're talking about two kids in their freshman year, and, you know, when you look at Southeastern football going 6-4, Heiss going 20-5. I know Coach Hutton referenced your interview with him the other day, Derek, where he was calling Skyler probably his biggest IQ player in terms mm-hmm. of volleyball IQ. And I just want the fans to kind of put this in your back pocket. I want you to take a look at this 3 years from now, and I want you to look at a four-year run, assuming God willing with good health, that where the football program and the volleyball program go over a four-year. I really feel like, guys, we might be looking at some of the winningest athletes at their respective sports 4 years from now. I just wanted to throw that out there because I think those are two really good young pieces to build around.
All righty. We're going to put you down, though, for Uniota's group there as well, Shane. Is that correct? But
yes.
Special mention there. All right. Fans, stay with us as next we go inside the schools and create some Civil War discussion. Well, as we enter this section of SVC Sports Talk, it is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment, located at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. You can find them on the web at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. Give them a call. They are your source for all types of sports apparel. And with the weather changing, or supposed to be changing anyway, I think we've probably encountered our last 80-degree day. Your shorts are no longer going to cut it, folks. You're going to have some sweats or something. And you can find all that stuff at C&K Athletic Equipment, where they are your local school apparel supplier in this area. We're going to move into our second section of the test here, gentlemen. It's called Take Your Pick, and it's going inside the school and picking within the schools. So this is where we get our little thought of some Civil War discussion, but I don't think it'll turn out quite that badly. I really don't.
I'm sure no parents or nobody with their friends or anything will have any opinions at all that are of any passion.
That never occurs, does it?
No.
Notice Mr. Webb chuckled there pretty well. Yeah, anyway, geez. Okay.
That's rare.
He had a tough day today, I believe. Okay, our first one is the best Piketon duo. We have three choices. Graham and Zimmerman, Chandler and Morris, or Berkheimer and Veach.
Mr. You know, for me, I'm going to have to go with this one. I mean, it's really hard not to pick Cammy Chandler and Jordan Morris. It almost hurts me not to pick those guys. But with what Gabe Berkheimer and Travis Veach mm-hmm. have done this year, out of nowhere, we knew Graham and Zimmerman field that they've built. You didn't see this coming. You knew Chandler and Morris were going to be good. We knew Graham and Zimmerman were going to be good. But when you look at Berkheimer, who's thrown for over 1,600 yards and ran for over 1,000 yards, I mean, then you look at Beach, who's his main target, had a 1,000-yard receiving or almost, I believe, a 1,000-yard receiving year. I just think that's rare, especially in this area, which is a run first football area. And that trend is starting to kind of flip the other way, where a lot of schools are going pass first. And that's what Piketon did this year with Berkheimer and Veach. But you have to have those tools to do so. and Berkheimer and Veach have kind of stepped up and provided those guys with the weaponry to go through the air. So I'm going to have to go with Berkheimer and Veach here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is really hard. And if I guess, first of all, with Graham and Zimmerman, you've heard me talk about their golfing at the state level and so forth. But obviously, to truly go to another level, they had some other kids that in golf, you have no choice but to. There's no making your third and fourth player better if you're a superstar, in other words. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they obviously had to have help. But obviously, those two are terrific. You'll hear me mention them multiple times throughout the show. The Berkheimer and Veach, I would have probably agreed with Derek if we were doing this show about a week or two ago. But Derek, I am going to go Chandler and Morris. And I want to go back to when I was naming my all-league team. I was talking about how in a day of where families kind of pick up and say, okay, well, I don't really feel like digging in here and making this better. Where can I go and just make it a little easier on myself? Or where can I go and just, you know, see how easy it is to win? Those two didn't do that. And I tell you, what really caught my attention – you know, and Derek and I have you know, been back and forth throughout the year of Piketon and Southeastern and looking at their growth and so forth. But what really caught my attention, Derek, was them beating Wheelersburg in a non-league regular season match in three, and then beating Alexander. And you know, Saturday was obviously a crazy, crazy thing that I don't know if I've ever seen such a thing. And I was laughing in the car when I got there because I was thinking it's a shame that the SBC had to have a loser in that one. I was thinking, you know, if Huntington could have just put on a different uniform that said a non-league school, I would think Piketon would have won in four. I mean, your sports are a funny thing, but I've gained so much respect for Chandler and Morris, and I don't want to just single those two out. Obviously, the Conleys and Hortride and Zapp at the net. I mean, they're obviously it's a team thing, but I just give those two so much credit because, you know, you're going back almost 30 years to consider how significant this is in their school history. They're the best hitting duo in the league. If you just take the two of them versus other two, obviously there's some more balanced attacks out there, but, yeah, really, really have gained a high level of respect for them. Now, obviously, Berkheimer and Veach are terrific, but I'll go with a little sleeper pick there with Chandler and Morris.
All right, we've got you down for Chandler and Morris. The next one, top Unioto star in team setting. We've got choices are as follows, Maddie Eberts, Clay Edler, or Haley Wright. Derek?
You know, I'm going to go. Obviously, a lot of people know about Maddie and Clay, but I think I'm going to go Haley Wright here.
Okay.
When you watch her and you watch her through the years, you know, you watched her as her junior year last season just absolutely dominate. And she's done nothing but do the same this year as well. She might not have an individual regional title like she did last year, but Haley's still going to a state cross country tournament individually as both Unioto's boys and girls. Rarely missed that, but Haley's been that kind of like I talked about Hallie Pinkerton, the rock. I mean, Haley's been the rock of that entire team this year. And I talked to her after the Unioto Invitational, where the girls I believe placed second. And you know, she's just such a personable kid that she knows how to talk to the media. And I talked to her maybe three times because obviously with football and volleyball and soccer going on cross country. Probably doesn't get the coverage it deserves a lot of times, but she just relaxed, laid-back kid that just, I mean, so much fun to talk to, and she knows what she's talking about. And the only thing that she continued to talk about was how her teammates got better. She never was an I or a me kind of kid, and I just really was impressed with it. Every time I talk to her, I'm impressed more and more about her personality, the kind of humbleness she brings, and she goes out there and gets the job done, gets, you know, business as usual, and really doesn't say anything much about it. So she's still got one more race to run in a cross country setting as a senior, and we're definitely rooting for her down there in Hebron.
Well, we are certainly doing that here in the SVC, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that pick of Haley Wright. I guess I should. I was catching myself a little bit writing this question. You know, with Haley advancing in a sport individually, for me to leave Sylvia Gray off the list, maybe that's a little unfair. Obviously, she would almost become a no-brainer when you look at the way she's dominated her sport. But in this particular question, Bruce, I kind of go to the top two. I certainly nothing against Haley. I I actually had a chance to coach Haley for a short spin. She comes over from Huntington there after her freshman year, and she has obviously grown in the Unieta cross country program greatly. People listen to the show over the last 2 years, knows my setter bias, knows how much I love Maddie Edwards. You know, she was in the POY race all year long, very valuable. The Southeastern loss really hurt her and shook up the league race. For me, guys, this is a no-brainer. I got to go Clay Edler. What he's done and the incredible run. Being a Unieta grad, it's one of those things, Unieta going to week 11 in football, that just sounds weird. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that it's a thing that's very historic. I've said so many times when I started doing the website that if you ask me a historic question, I'm willing to go back to right around 1988, 89, 90. So, you know, we're building up almost 30 years here, and I'll try to give you an honest sports eye opinion. I don't like going into the 80s and 70s, 60s, so forth, because I don't really know. In the last 30 years, if you're just taking his senior year, the finished product, if you will, of his career, he's probably the best Unieta quarterback in the last 30 years. You know, I was trying to think today, the different people, you know, Jared Hanks was a 7-3 quarterback. You could argue Dottillion and Davis and some of those guys didn't have the supporting cast Edler had, you know, even Neil Hoops, the brother of the person that I'm not allowed to mention this week. He was a quarterback there.
Good job.
I had my hand played on the buzzer.
Ryan Jades and so forth. That was a really good team. Keep in mind, too, guys, I believe my brother has actually told me on the phone today that they played the year before they expanded the playoffs to 8. So that team would have most likely made the playoffs in an 8-team format. So there's a little Unieta nugget for you. But, yeah, I think Edler's been terrific. Does he have an incredible supporting cast? Yeah, he does. But, I mean, you know, obviously when you go to the playoffs, it's going to be a good team. So I just think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to grow into in terms of playing the quarterback position.
All righty, we go to the next question. And this question entitled Best Zane Trace Duo. Are you ready? Here are your choices. Darby Pillow and Holden Johnson. Austin Harris. Etheridge Games, Ashton Ward, and Hannah Unger. Derek?
Another tough question here, but I got to go with Darby Pillow and Holden Johnson. You watch those guys on the soccer field, and I promise you, one knows where the other one is without looking. Holden just he can continually find Darby. Darby continually finds Holden. And, you know, I mean, it's really a set. That's one of the things about my job that I don't like is that, you know, I will never be able to see Darby and Holden play another Zane Trace soccer game, and it's almost like magic, or I don't know. It's such symmetry with those two. It's just kind of just, I mean, Darby will just kick a ball, and all of a sudden Holden's there. I mean, it's like hocus pocus type of stuff. I mean, and you know, these two are two great kids. You know, I know they're good friends off the field. They've had a lot of success with Zane Trace's soccer program, and you know, I don't think the Pioneers do what they've done in the last 4 years without Darby and Holden. So I'm going to go with those two.
Okay.
Yeah, we agree here, Bruce. Darby Pillow, Holden Johnson for sure. I mean, when you look at the historical factor, them winning the SBC championship, that may not sound like much now, but it's always going to take on a historical significance in our conference. I mean, goodness, who in the world can argue with Austin Harris and Etheridge Games what they've done behind that incredible offensive line, playoff bound again? They win another gold ball. You know, guys, it's almost like they do so much winning. We're like, they won a gold ball again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that's something that we probably need to stop and appreciate a little bit more. Do want to give a shout out to Ashton and Hannah as well. Coach Coker wins another sectional title. You know, guys, you look at, you know, where the Westfall program was, as you heard me talk about Coach Coker a couple weeks ago and what she made it over a 20-year period. You know, now she shows up to Zane Trace, who doesn't have the richest, you know, history of volleyball. And all of a sudden, what, in a handful of years, she's won, you know, 3 or 4 sectional titles. She's won a league title. She's, you know, so again, Ward and Unger deserve a lot of credit for that. But I agree with everything Derek said, plus just the historical significance for me of Pillow and Johnson there.
All righty. Our last question in this segment, Southeastern's top Panther performer. And here are your choices, of which there are 4. Carson Stauffer, Ella Skeens, Callie Mitten, and Ethan Smith.
You know, when you look at this question, it's hard not to pick Ellis Skeens. You know, Carson Stouffer is a great baseball player, a great football player. Callie Benton obviously will leave the school as the career girls goal holder on the soccer field, and that I mean in career and as in a season, in a single season. And I guarantee you the Panthers aren't 14-2-2 without that name on the list. And Ethan Smith's obviously a great option on the golf course and even in, on the baseball field as well when he has played. But Ella, I mean, she's a once in a lifetime type of athlete. I mean, she's got colleges coming to watch her play volleyball. I mean, I don't know if anybody noticed that, but Ball State was there to watch her play a volleyball game. And they're not watching her to scout her for volleyball. They're scouting her for basketball, but she's so much fun to watch on the volleyball court. They're like, hey, why not? So, I mean, I think I got to go with Ella Skeens here. It's really hard not to pick her, and really not even just Southeastern's top Panther performer, but in the area's top performers, it would be hard not to pick Ella Skeens.
Okay.
Yeah, no-brainer here, Bruce. Obviously, Carson, Callie, Ethan, very, very worthy of being on the list. You know, I mentioned earlier the Southeastern football program at 6-4. Carson deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, he's averages about 9 tackles a game, over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Really good player. Mitten, Derek talked about her scoring. I mentioned earlier such a program foundation, and then Ethan, an all-league golfer. But in this case, Ella's a just a special athlete, you know, and I'm glad Derek said that. I hope if kids are listening to the show, understand that colleges love to see kids play other sports. Again, my former teammate that I'm not allowed to mention by name, I can remember in high school, you know, he was a tremendous baseball player. Valparaiso's baseball coach was sitting in the front row at our sectional championship game in basketball, watching him play basketball. You know, it's a situation where people will tell you, I can remember Ohio State coming and watching Ben Hartsock play basketball. You know, it's a situation of they want athletes. They want winners. They want, you know, well-rounded people. And that's certainly what Ella is. So, I mean, again, Carson, Callie, Ethan are tremendous athletes, but this is just kind of a no-brainer here.
All righty, Shane. That wraps up this section. Let's take off and go to the hurry-up offense.
Yeah, sounds good. Obviously, want to give a shout out as always to Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Bruce did an awesome job of explaining their website and their facilities. Just everything they do just seems to have a real professional touch to it. So again, 740-986-4653. And I guess we've been taking questions all night. We can shy away from the quiz here and just have some fun with the four things here, Derek.
Yeah.
All righty. Here we go with the hurry-up offense.
Best fall finish. Tell the fans your favorite ending to a sporting event this season.
Oh, man, there's been so many good endings to a sporting event this season. But, I mean, for me, it's hard not to really go with what I just saw Saturday. I think maybe I'm biased because that's maybe the freshest in my mind. But it really, if you look at the past two Huntington-Piketon volleyball games, Piketon takes a 2-0 lead, and then Huntington comes back and wins 3-2. And then the way that they won that game on Saturday, just such emotion at the end, as Shane mentioned, you could just kind of feel the whole – I was sitting on Huntington's side, and you could just see the whole crowd just an exhale of relief. And if you really look at the history of that, Huntington's lost their last 5 district final volleyball matches, and that happened in the last 5 years by 2 points each. So they win 15-13. The Tide kind of finishes. It's just kind of a magical moment to be a part of. That was that was probably my favorite ending.
Yeah, I don't know that I could disagree. Just to throw out some other ones just for some fans to think about. You know, even though we as fans don't always get a chance to take in these types of events, think of a Jacob Calvin on a playoff hole to go to the state. That's pretty cool. The Paint Valley Southeastern pass interference call. But for me, it probably has to be the heartbreak of Piketon on the back-to-back weeks of the two-point conversion play after the Hail Mary, to have emotions go so high then so low. And then obviously with the Uniota, the Bryce Robinson kick. You know, Dell Haynes, a longtime Uniota fan, said on Facebook that don't look past just the extra point. That's probably the biggest kick in football history. You're talking about a guy that's been a Uniota lifer for a long, long time. I mean, that's an awesome statement. and you think of all of these NFL kicks that we see in the last 2 weeks leading to ties and losses and so forth. So for a high school kid to step up and make the extra point even, that's probably a play that we overlook sometimes. So football certainly offered us some, Bruce, as well.
Fall's top team. Tell the fans which SVC team accomplished the most in 2016.
Well, if we're not looking at volleyball teams because they haven't finished yet, I would have to go with that, those Uniota Shermans. I mean, you look at a first playoff appearance in school history, and that's a school that's really taken a lot of pride in their football history. They've just never gotten over the hump. And, you know, they've went 8-2 before and not made the playoffs. So I would have to go with those guys making the playoffs. And I can guarantee you that my second pick here would be Southeastern volleyball team winning that first district title, I believe, since 1995. But they're still playing, so I'll have to go with the Shermans going 8-2 and going to Cincinnati, Wyoming next Friday. So,
well, I certainly can't understand with the way Derek went about that when he looked at the accomplishments, because those teams certainly did accomplish some great things. I guess I looked at it just in terms of more of the elite. So for me, it had to be an SVC champion. For me, I'm just going to say the Piketon golf team has to be it. You know, they lost just the one time. They dominated the league. They dominated the sectional district level, third in the state, as I said earlier. Keep in mind, Adina volleyball still not done. If Adina volleyball would go on to win a regional championship, maybe I could revisit this. And again, here we are. We just talked about it, and guess who we left out? St. Trace football. You know, they win another gold ball. They too are going to the playoffs. So if they're able to win a game or two, maybe we revisit. So for me, golf is complete. I'll give Zane Trace and Adina volleyball kind of an extension here to see if they can change my mind in the next week or so.
Fall's happy headline. Tell the fans what storyline will be remembered as the biggest positive headline for the SVC this fall.
You know, when I look at this, I'll have to go with something I covered that wasn't a game. I really liked the story of Abby Postage and really the inspiration that she brought to a lot of the cross-country community and really a lot of the people that just read that in passing that are grown adults. I mean, you know, when you look at what she had with the complex regional pain syndrome in her legs, and she feels something like that every single day, but gets up, goes to school, doesn't complain about it, and then goes to cross-country practice, where she knows that that is going to, you know, act up and hurt more, and then finishes the first race she's ever finished in a high school setting as a senior. She's now finished three, by the way. I'd have to look at her, and that's probably my favorite story I've written this fall. And I mean, just such an awesome girl to meet. I think I'd have to go with that as the biggest positive headline.
Well, I certainly can't argue with that. That was an awesome story, as I tried to share out on Facebook, Twitter. Really well done. Really, really enjoyed that. You know, for me, Bruce, if I'm just looking at it from a sports headlines situation, it has to be something you've heard me touch on in terms of the welcomed parody. As someone who's done this in the SVC for so long, you know, the fall can sometimes get really predictable and boring. You know, if you go back to the Adrian Ross and the Taylor Hatfield days, and, you know, you need a cross country still a little bit like that maybe, but like, for me, there's just so much more parity. I give the Southeastern Huntington football a lot of credit for that. Obviously, Paint Valley. When's the last time Paint Valley Westfall football combined to go 3-11 in the league? I don't know if that's ever happened in you know, my lifetime. So there's a lot of I could go on and on and on from the Southeastern volleyball team that Derek mentioned. A lot of things. But for me, it was just the welcome parody of making me pay attention a little bit more to a variety of programs and a variety of schools.
On the flip side, Fall's sad story. Tell the fans what storyline you would have preferred not to have been forced to report this fall.
I'm going to go with what Shane had mentioned earlier and touched on a little bit with Pike. His two back-to-back kind of one-point heartbreaking losses. They go to Zane Trace complete on a Hail Mary call. Or play, and then at 21-20, go for two to win the game, and a lot of Piketon fans still think that they got in. And obviously the referees didn't see it that way. They called
Sir Brock Netter gave me the official call from the goal line that they did not.
Well, you know, either way, I'm sure that the Red Streaks don't care about Sir Brock Netter's opinion on that now. But I mean, you know, referees didn't see it that way. They didn't go. They don't call it a successful two-point try. They lose their first. They go into next week, host Unioda, with a lot of emotion there, and then Unioda goes and knocks them off 34-33 in a game that really Pike didn't have any business winning, but they were there at the end and had a lead. I mean, so, and Clay Edler was with his magic with 4th and 22 there. He picks up 27, and you could just kind of see it on Pike's faces that, man, we just our season just ended, and they still had a Week 10 game to go at Paint Valley. So I would have to go with that. I hate reporting all on the end of the season. I think the first 5 tournament games I covered were losses, and that was the end of the season. So you got kids crying. You got, you know, seniors out there, and you know that's the last time you see them play. So, but I'd still have to go with Pike's 2 kind of back-to-back losses there.
Yeah, good answer. I mean, when you think how easily they could be sitting 9-1 hosting a playoff and how their season changed just in a couple of seconds. But for me, Bruce, I'll go with some of the unfortunate injuries. I mean, obviously, we know that they are a part of sports. At least Kelsey Bolster was able to come back. But on the football side of things, the Jay Riley, the Corey Wyman, you know, being a basketball fan myself, not only do you hate it for those young men that are going to miss the opportunity to play, but we as fans kind of will also feel it, because as we go to the winter, the depth of a Paint Valley backcourt, obviously Corey Wyman is probably, in my mind, was probably the front runner for the SVC Player of the Year coming into his senior season. And so that's kind of unfortunate there. So I know the feeling in my gut when I got the final word on Jay and Corey. So injuries like that are very unfortunate.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense for this episode 170 of SVC Sports Talk. And again, thanks to Crown Hill Golf Club for bringing that to us. We're going to move now into our final segment here on the test year, the fall sports year in, if you will, for the sports nerds seated to my right and left. And this is going to be brought to you by, again, C&K Athletic Equipment. I talked about them earlier, but you can locate them at 116 East High Street in Circleville, and they've become the local school apparel place to go for fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. And this one, this segment, we're going to call Shock Factor, and it's going to be kind of based on the preseason thoughts. More shocked about what? And here we go with our 4 selections. Unioto football going 8-2 and making playoffs, or Southeastern volleyball going 20-5 and winning a district title. Derek.
I'm going to go with Unioto football going 8-2. Here I am picking Unioto over another school again. But, you know, I think Southeastern volleyball going into it, we knew that they were going to be good with the athletes they had. Anytime you got Ellis Keynes on your team, you're going to compete. We knew Clay Edler was good. We just didn't know how, you know, really good the team around him was. And plus, Unioto's went 8-2 with that schedule before and still not made the playoffs. You know, we've talked about that a little bit, too, with their non-conference name. They got a little help that they probably didn't expect. You know, when you have 2 losses to a Waverly team and a Zane Trace team who are both playoff teams and you run the table, you know, I don't really know if I really could have said at the beginning of the season, yeah, I've got Unioto making the football playoffs. I'm going to have to go with the Shermans there. Congratulations to them. That's certainly a huge accomplishment for school history. That's something those guys will remember for the rest of their lives.
Shane?
Well, I totally agree, and really for a lot of the same reasons. At 8-2, if you'd have told me Unioto gets into the playoffs, I'd have said you're crazy. So obviously, again, that speaks to the parity of our league. It speaks to, you know, maybe Benton County being able to pick up a few wins that maybe they weren't expecting to get. That certainly helps. For me, guys, I thought Southeastern volleyball was going to be a top 3 or 4 team in the league. So anytime you're top 3 or so in the SVC and then Unioto goes Division 2, you know, as long as you stay out of Adina's bracket, that you're a contender to go. Plus, keep in mind, in Division 3, we get 3 teams from the Southeast to the regional. So I'm not too shocked, to be honest, on what Southeastern volleyball has done to this point. For Uniote, I guess I cheated a little bit because I went and watched them play in a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And when I saw them in person and I saw Edler up close run the football and throw the football, I was like, wow. Now, if I were to go back before, maybe I'd have been a little shocked in terms of going in. If I went back to the off season, but yeah, for me, it's certainly Uniote at 8-2 getting in.
All righty, our next option here is Westfall football at 1-9, finishing tied for last place, or Westfall volleyball at 2-12 in the SVC, 6-16 overall, and 7th place in the league.
I think I'm going to have to go with Westfall football here. With the volleyball, you can certainly understand, after losing a Hannah Phillips, what kind of happened in that segment with, and don't get me wrong, Becca Brown and Darby Beavers are great volleyball players, along with, a rising Caitlin Young there. But you're playing in the SVC. Now, it's one of the best conferences, as we talked about, in all of Ohio. So I can certainly understand that 2-12 finish inside the conference. As far as football goes, Westfall, you get a team that scores 21 a game, and that's not last in the league. That's over Adina and Huntington now, but they give up 40 a game. So I think I'm almost shocked that the defense gives up 40 a game more than I am. They're 1-9. So I think I'd have to go Westfall there over the volley, or their football team over the volleyball team.
Okay.
Derek, I think I'll probably go the other way here. For me, it was a little bit volleyball. Maybe it's because I've seen Westfall football struggle a little bit. I remember the first year they struggled. It was kind of weird to watch. For me, again, you got to go all the way back before Lori was up there coaching, as I said so many times in the mid-90s. It's just weird to see Westfall volleyball not up toward the top. It's something, they beat Chillicothe in the non-league. I know the league's tough. It's just hard to get used to with the football situation. I'm pretty sure they're going to start 0-3 again. Westfall, that non-league schedule, there's years even when they won a gold football, they went 0-3. So to think that they were going to win a game this year probably wasn't real realistic. But I think the one thing that, even though Derek and I answered the question differently, I think the one thing we agree on is they made the right hire. The offense looks more like Westfall. Give it a year or two to get some defensive athletes back out there, and I look for Westfall to climb the SVC ladder again.
Okay, our next question in the shock factor section here. More shocked about what? Are you more shocked about Paint Valley football going 4-6, or Uniote golf team winning only one league match? Derek?
I'm gonna piggyback off what Shane kind of just said about the volleyball team. I would kind of have to go with the same kind of answer for the football team. It's weird seeing Paint Valley go 4-6 after kind of covering them in the playoffs so many years in a row. I mean, that's kind of been their mojo, I guess, when getting to the playoffs. And you see them struggle this year, and it's just like, man, is this Paint Valley? I mean, I went out there, covered them against the Uniote team, against the Zane Trace team, and they just kind of imploded a little bit, and it's just like, wow, this is Pete Holland's coaching this team. And nothing against Pete Holland or the Bearcats whatsoever, it's just weird to see that. You don't usually see Paint Valley struggle, even in big games you don't see that. So as long as I've been here at the Gazette, the Paint Valley has been the cream of the crop in the SVC, and I think I'd have to go with that as a shock factor.
Shane?
Yeah, that's fair. It's the answer here is Paint Valley, and again, anytime you answer these questions, it's nothing against the program. It's obviously been incredible tradition. It's a situation where you knew they graduated a lot, and you thought, in my mind, I was thinking kind of 7-3, mm-hmm. 6-4 maybe, and that's why I was telling everybody to relax after only losing to, say, Memphis, Zane Trace, Uniote. But I think, again, this is that parity I talked about a couple questions ago. We didn't expect Piketon to be so good in reload, Southeastern, Adina, and so forth, Huntington. All of these teams were just better than they've been in years past, or than we thought maybe they would be. So, obviously, Uniote Golf, they finished second every time, I believe, right? They never lost anyone else. So, a lot of that credit there is just how good Piketon is. So, yeah, but we'll see. I mean, we mentioned on the freshman question earlier, there's a huge nucleus of Paint Valley kids coming up. So, I'd give it a year or two, and I'd say Paint Valley will have one of their 2- and 3-year runs again.
Our fourth question here Southeastern and Huntington football combining for 9 wins, or all 8 SVC schools advancing in some way out of the sectional tournament in golf?
You know, I know I think I've answered a lot of these questions in the way towards football, but I'm going to stick with my guns here and go with Southeastern and Huntington winning nine games this year. I mean, Southeastern last year, obviously not very good. Huntington, not very good. You know, if you told me at the beginning of the year, would Southeastern win 6 games, I'd say absolutely not. Huntington, I know they went 3-7, and honestly, I think they underperformed after starting off 2-1. But I just think Southeastern and Huntington going, you know, winning those 9 games and really having the potential to win 10 or 11 was really a shock factor for me. Sectional golf tournament, it's hard. Yes, it's hard to get out of that. But with 9 wins between Southeastern and Huntington, two storied programs that have been bad throughout the last 10, 15 years, I'd have to go with that.
Oh, Derek, we agree again. I mean, think about it. 8 golf programs to district is awesome, but it's also circumstance. The Division II, Division III split, the rules of the teams getting out and then the individuals getting out. So there's a lot of circumstance that also helps the golf programs do that. Where Southeastern, Huntington, and 9, to me, these two schools right here are why we had so much parity. It's why Derek Webb was ready to bang his head against the desk about 4 weeks ago on SVC Sports Talk when he was ready to flip a coin. It's, you know, think about it. We've always, Derek, had 2 or 3 teams that just weren't any good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and even at Westfall and Southeastern and Huntington and Paint Valley and all these schools at the bottom of the league this year, Adina, they're pretty good. I mean, a lot of what we saw in Huntington is the perfect example of this, where they just ran out of players. Is other than the Uniota game, who Uniota scored late in the second quarter to go up 20-0 at halftime, Huntington was in every game in the second half. That wasn't the case last year. You know, this year Huntington gave Zane Trace all they wanted all the way down to the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Southeastern won 6 games. They beat Paint Valley. You know, they beat Westfall for the first time in forever. So yeah, to me, these two schools, in terms of what they've been able to accomplish on the football field, is kind of the highlight of why we've had the parity we've had in SVC football.
All righty. And surprise, gentlemen, our crack writing staff has come up with the all-important bonus question. So listen carefully. Shock value, which is greater? Zane Trace football winning the gold ball, or Adina volleyball and Piketon golf not winning the gold ball?
I mean, for this one, I'd have to go with Zane Trace winning the gold ball because of what Shane just talked about with the parity inside the SVC. You get a Piketon team that they lose to, or they beat by one. Nobody really thought. I mean, again, if you would have told me Piketon would have had 7 wins this year, I'd have said you're crazy. That 3-win Huntington team gave him a game at 34-23. Uniota, obviously, earlier in the season, give him a game. So, you know, I mean, Zane Trace, we knew was going to be good, and we knew we're probably going to win the SVC. But with all the parity after the fact, after watching all the football for 10 straight weeks, and really, you know, Adina beating Paint Valley or Southeastern beating Paint Valley, you know, or Uniota even beating Piketon that we talked about. I mean, I didn't think Uniota would go to Piketon and win. So I'm still banging my head off the desk, see? So, but yeah, Zane Trace winning the gold ball. I knew it was possible, but with Adina, you're playing the SVC, you're playing a lot of good volleyball teams, and then Piketon obviously playing Uniota there. So I would have to go with ZT.
Well, Bruce, I guess I thought Adina volleyball would probably win the gold ball. I mean, obviously the Ballstred injury played a role in that. Again, give Uniota credit. Piketon the same way. Give Uniota credit there. But I think if I could go ahead and tell on myself here, I think the reason I put this question on here again is the guilt factor of how in the world Derek and I are going to sit here for over an hour and talk SVC fall sports, and we just constantly forget about Zane Trace football.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just fitting to end the show by saying, you know, Zane Trace football is really good. And with the freshman class that's back waiting their turn, mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd make the mistake of overlooking him in years to come as well.
All righty. Okay, before we get out of here, though, I'm sure all of you are listening want to know how to contact these gentlemen, because you've probably got lots to discuss with them. I would imagine.
I'd say they agree with about everything.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. You just keep thinking about that. Maybe you'll even get an email or something here, Shane, from that person we're not supposed to mention.
Yeah.
It's possible. You know, the one that coaches. One from that other school. Anyway, you can reach Shane by using his email address, which is admin1@svcsportzone.com. He maintains, of course, two profiles on Facebook, and you can follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. Derek, on the other hand, you can get him at email, via email, dweb@chillicothegazette.com, and his Twitter at DW1509 is that handle, and it's very active. You can leave us a voicemail, DBK Media Services, at the listener line, 740-569-3254. And, of course, we ask that you subscribe to our podcast. You can do that with the Podcatcher app. You can find that, I know, on being an iPhone user, I know there's a podcast app, which you go in and search for us. You'll pop up, and you can just hit subscribe, and that little puppy will watch for any new episodes being published and download them and make them ready for you to listen to in the car or while you're walking or whatever you're doing. You can listen to us in the kitchen. It's just endless at your time. You can also do an email subscription. Go to any of the posts on the DBK Media Services website, and you can just stick in your email address. You'll get a verification email, and then you'll be getting any new podcasts, which are any new posts which are published. You'll get an email about that, and you can listen straight from the email. And you can find us, that is SVC Sports Talk, in the iTunes store. And we'd always ask for a favorable review if you do so, and a great rating. So I wanted to get that in, Shane, because I figured there were a few people that had something to say to you guys. Just a few.
Appreciate it.
I know there's a couple grandmas out there that's going to, you know, get on Derek, his case, because
each week.
Yeah. Anyway, Derek, I know you've got a special roundtable coming up. We wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to maybe discuss that a little bit.
Yeah, we're not sure if it's going to be this week or the next week. Now, when it is, we'll obviously post that on the website. With how things look right now, if Chillicothe soccer team advanced into a regional semifinal, and then obviously Edina Southeastern and Huntington in volleyball semifinals, and then you go to football and with the Union and Zane Trace Friday and Saturday in Chillicothe. So probably not this week. I'd say next week. We're going to have a round table, and it's going to be at Schlegel's Coffee House, where we've had a lot this year. And we're going to announce our all football area football teams and area volleyball teams. So we're going to go kind of around the room. Obviously, and Shane doesn't know this yet, so I'm going to put him on the spot. But volleyball, it would be just Shane and I kind of voting. So there might be a lot of co there. With Brock would be the tiebreaker because he's seen a lot of volleyball. Mike has been at soccer games since his daughter plays soccer for Southeastern. But for football, we're all going to have a vote, and we're gonna highlight each area position. What I mean by that is we're not going to go quarterback, running back, wide receiver. We're going to go quarterback, left guard, center, right guard. I mean, we're going to have five linemen, five defensive linemen, linebackers, cornerbacks, the whole ordeal. So we're gonna name those, and those will come out. Actually, we'll publish those. With a short story on Thanksgiving Day of the edition of the Gazette. So it'd be fun just to kind of sit and debate and talk about it. If you're available that night, you want to make sure you come out and you know, kind of hear what we have to say. Kind of like this show here, there's going to be a lot of kids' names that are mentioned, and even in the kind of non-glory positions, if you would, of in the trenches. So it'll be a fun, just kind of watch for that announcement on our website and make sure you're there that night.
All righty. Will you have that up on the website to listen to later, too?
Yes, absolutely. It'll be just kind of like a regular roundtable. So if you do have something to do that night, you can still kind of come back and listen to it and have a little bit of a preview of that Thanksgiving Day edition.
Great. Shane, this is our last episode. You might want to touch on when we'll be back and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we're going to give it a couple weeks here and see how things plan out. We'll probably split our boys and girls basketball preview shows again somewhere that week of around the Thanksgiving time there. I'll kind of post it on the website. Certainly don't want to get out of here without thanking you, Bruce. You and I have been doing this, 170 times, you said in the beginning?
Yeah, 170.
we've been the two that have been the mainstays all the way through. And then, as we said in the opening, I can't say enough about what Derek's bringing to the show. Had a lot of people wanting me to talk basketball, and again, we're just we felt like we needed to highlight the fall athletes tonight. I can tell you, in boys basketball, that team I'm not supposed to mention is definitely the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
two through eight is certainly crazy. It'll be a lot of fun to talk about. On the girls' side, I would say Southeastern is our early favorite. Piketon, certainly good. Uniota has Piketon with Blanton back, and Thiel at Uniota there. I know they're high on their freshman class coming in. Paint Valley has a lot of reason, excitement with Lexi Woods and company there. So we'll come back around Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that, but certainly we'll be talking about a loaded roster from that particular school, and then obviously Ellis Gaines, Audrey Wheeler, and the Southeastern girls there. So I'm sure we'll get a lot of that. So for now, look forward to that special roundtable. Again, thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Derek, and thank you, fans. So until the winter season. For Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SBC Sports Talk. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SBC Sports Talk. And visit SBCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SBC, 100% of the time.